People love to receive gifts. I recently read the amusing little story of a wife who said to her husband over breakfast, "I had a dream last night that you gave me a pearl necklace. I wonder what that means." And he said, "Well, you'll find out later on." And sure enough, that evening he gave her a book entitled Interpreting Dreams. Sometimes the gift that you're looking for isn't actually what you end up getting. And that certainly wasn't the gift that she was expecting. Christmas is a time for gifts. And the greatest gift is not always what is expected. And Christmas, of course, celebrates the coming of the greatest gift of all, God's love to us in Jesus Christ. Indeed, in that famous and well-known little verse that some of you may have learned many, many years ago at a Sunday school or something like that, the words of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And if I was to show you that picture there, that lovely picture, it reminds us of a very important part of the Christmas story, of how the wise men came from afar. And we are told in Matthew chapter 2, we read these words, that they traveled and they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And tonight, just for a moment, I just want to remind you of these gifts and how it is a challenge to each and every one of them. These three gifts that were presented by these wise men. Gold. It was a gift fit for a king, because here in that little manger there lay a king. Over this past year, I have, in our evening services here in our local church, been preaching through the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Some people stay away from the book of Revelation. They're not quite sure what it means. Some people find it very confusing, but actually, without minimizing the depths that are there, it is actually a wonderful message of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the three words that we have been learning that summarizes that book are the words, "The Lamb wins, the Lamb wins." And that's an encouraging thought, isn't it? In the midst of the struggles of life, the problems of our world, and the things that can depress us and make us very sad, to know that the Lamb wins. Jesus wins. Why? Because he's a great king. And in fact, he's not just any old king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's good to be reminded of that. Jesus Christ is a great king. He's the King of the universe. And here's the question that I just leave with you. Is he your king? Because that's what the gospel calls us to. The gospel confronts each and every person from each and every community, from each and every nation of the world, and challenges each and every individual to do what the wise men did, to bow before the king and to worship him. So gold for a king. There was another gift here, and it was frankincense. And in those days, that was used in the temple by the priests who were there. And they did a very important work. They were mediating for the people. If you like, they were interceding for the people. They were an advocate for the people. And you see, Jesus Christ is not only a great king, but he's a great advocate. He's the great high priest. He's the priest of all priests. He's the greatest, There's no one else quite like him. There's a little verse in the Bible, and it says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so it's a lovely thing to be reminded of that, isn't it? That there is only one person who can mediate for us before God. No other person, no other man, no other woman, no matter how great or small they may be, there is only one, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. And so again, I simply ask you, leave you with a very simple challenge. Is Jesus your advocate? Is he your great high priest? Is he the one to whom you go and say, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. You can trust in him. Jesus is a great advocate. And then there was another gift, and it was the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was something that some of you will know. It was used to embalm the dead. And this reminds us that this little baby would one day die and be embalmed. You see, Jesus was born to die. Sometimes people forget that and they just think of the little baby in the cradle. But we must move on from Bethlehem and move to Calvary and there see a Saviour dying for us. He died, says the Easter hymn, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And so the simplicity of the gospel. And here's the question, folks. Is he your Saviour? Is he your Saviour? You know, let me maybe draw things to a close by saying this. Every single one of us here this evening knows that life is not easy. If I was to say, put up your hand if you've never, ever had a problem, I don't think there would be too many hands up. Put up your hand if you've never, ever been very, very sad. No hands up. Put up your hand if you've never shed tears. No hands up. Because life is like that. Life is not easy. And life can be very, very hard. And we are so profoundly grateful to all of these folks who've been involved tonight in the readings and the work that they do in the midst of the real struggles and tears of life to bring some help. But at the end of the day, folks, even these good folks can only do a certain amount. We need the Lord. And let me just remind you of this. I remember reading these words, that Christian confidence and certainty, even in times of great suffering, is based not on an explanation from God as to why difficult things happen, but the assurance that God is in the midst even of the difficult things. Some of you may know the name of a man who's now gone to heaven. His name was Verna Wright. He was a very eminent professor of rheumatology at the University of Leeds in England. And there came a point in his life where he realized that he had cancer. And he experienced great comfort from the knowledge that God was still in control. And the other thing that compounded the whole situation is that when he had cancer, he actually had a member of his family, a daughter who also had cancer. And in a little letter that he wrote to his daughter, this man who was dying from cancer, writing to a daughter struggling with cancer, he quoted these words, the words of a hymn writer who said this, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know that at his right hand stands one who is my Saviour. And folks, that is the heart of it. In this life, said Jesus, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So folks, there's no greater gift than this. To know that in Jesus we have a great King, a great Advocate, and ultimately a great Saviour. When we trust Him, and that's the thing. And that's why I leave you, and there's a little picture I'm going to show you, and I think I show this most years, but I don't make any apology for showing it again, because it brings us right to the very essence of what it means to have the Saviour. It's something that sometimes people miss. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Folks, have you opened the door of your heart to Jesus? That's at the heart of the Christian story. Don't just believe in your head, but receive it into your heart. Receive Him as your King, as your great High Priest, and as your Saviour, as you repent of your sins and say, as I shared with the people earlier today, and I finish with this, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus." And glory to God when a person, a man, a woman, a boy or girl, prays that simply and sincerely. He will come in and be your Saviour and be with you through life and into eternity. That's the greatest gift. And I wish that gift on each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you richly at this time.